5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Now's the time where we take a look at the lunch rush. Top stories trending nationally. The most expensive ballot proposition gamble in U.S. history went bust last night as California voters overwhelmingly rejected sports betting, shooting down initiatives by Native American tribes and the wagering industry. What, you don't like to gamble in California? You got 4 million sports teams there.
Plenty of parlays that you're missing out on.
Oh, so many parlays. All right. What are you, too good for gambling, California?
You think you're better than us?
You think you're better than us because we lose money on... I think Toledo's going to win tonight. I have no idea.
I'll take that $8 and buy my venti soy latte.
Your venti soy latte in California? How many states have not done it now? Like, I don't know. Colorado, luckily. Where about money in Colorado? I'm not paying attention. I'm paying attention, but I'm not talking about the votes last night. We like money. That's why we have gambling here.
Money
or we
and
don't
sports.
Like money. Yeah, we like sports here in this state of Colorado. So there you go. They can't gamble in California. Bummer for them. Doesn't matter. I won't be going there. NFL flexes Chiefs Chargers in week 11 to Sunday night. All right, that was going to be the Bengals-Steelers game. So that makes sense. Chargers will probably kind of be in the mix by that point, a couple weeks away.
Second time we've seen those two teams on primetime this year.
Yeah, that's right. It was on a Thursday night the other time. So we'll see them on Sunday Night Football.
But it looks like the start of NFL looking to flex some of their games later this year.
You think the Broncos-Chiefs game is going to get flexed?
Probably.
Unless the Broncos can win some football games, Angel. You never know, my friend. You just never know. Okay. Jim Irsay had some interesting things to say about his decision to hire Jeff Saturday, who was a high school football coach and an ESPN analyst. That was his experience. He obviously played center in the NFL. He was Peyton Manning. But he was hired as the interim head coach. Jim Irsay, here's what he had to say about it.
Yes, this is Irsay, and then you'll hear the coach Saturday, and then their GM.
Okay, let's hear it all.
Couldn't be more thrilled about having him here. And yes, he is fully experienced enough. Yes, he is fully capable. He's extremely smart. He's extremely competitive.
I feel fully capable, excited about the opportunity. Eight games to, you know, listen, here's a great part about my career. I came in, nobody expected anything. I'm here, nobody expects anything. If it goes well, hopefully it'll go extremely well. But I have no preconceived notion that I'm going to be some spectacular anything. I know I got to work hard, and I'm auditioning not only for this one, but for 31 others, just like everybody else in this game. And make no mistake. Man, the job is win.
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that's in this league. That's because it's tough for all our coaches. They're afraid. They go to analytics, and it gets difficult. I mean, he doesn't have all that. He doesn't have that fear, and there was no other candidate. We were fortunate that he was available.
We've tried to hire Jeff a couple times. We tried to hire him in 2019 as the offensive line coach, and we tried to hire him again, you know, this year. Just didn't work out. You know, the timing didn't work out. So, and I've spent a lot of time with Jeff over, like, with I have a few of the ex-players here, and it doesn't take long to figure out that he's got real leadership in him, you know, real special in that regard. And, you know, for this AIM game stretch and where we're at, we thought he was going to be a really good fit for us.
Is this just tanking? Is that what it is, or is there really something here where the Colts go completely outside the box and discover something that we might start seeing in the NFL?
It might be the most legal form of tampering I've seen at Stephen Ross, but
why do you say legal form of tampering?
Well, because it's not like we're going to put somebody in a position. We know our team's probably not going to make the playoffs. We've already fired, you know, half the staff already. We are on the backup quarterback. The optimism isn't high. So let's just put someone in there. They'll play out the rest of the season, and then we'll actually go get a coach and finally try to rebuild the Indianapolis Colts.
That, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you either think this is going to flop and it's just tanking at its finest, or is there really something in Irsay that he believes Jeff Saturday is going to be able to? What did he say? Like, he's not afraid of analytics and all that stuff?
He doesn't have the fear that exists in this game.
And so he won't be leaning on analytics?
Yes.
Listen, I think analytics are weird, and I think we're getting too cute, but I think that there's still a part in the game for analytics. I do. I think we're overdoing it. Coaches are overdoing it. College and pros are overdoing it. But just to be like, he's not afraid. There's a clip in there we didn't get, but where Jeff Saturday said, I asked her, say, like, why me? That's what you want from your head coach. Like,
I mean, it sounds like he was just, you know, sitting around at home and he got a call from Jim Irsay. It was like, hey, can you come coach?
Kind of sounds like the Ed McCaffrey thing. I mean, it kind of does. Like, hey.
Does he have sons?
I'm calling.
Are there any little Saturdays helping out?
That's Sunday and Monday.
That's good.
Little day jokes.
That was a
there.
Genuine laugh.
Yeah, there. That was good. Angel, it takes a lot to get you to really crack up. And that little Saturday joke, that did it. I'm glad. But it is. It's kind of like that. Like, Ed's calling to promote another guy, and then it's like, hey, why don't you just do it? You want to do it? I guess it's a D1 coaching job. Okay. And then for Jeff Saturday, it's like, I'm getting ready to do my monologue about, hey, why the Patriots suck. And hold on. Jim Irsay? Hello? Hey, Jeff, right? You were good for us back in the day. You want to coach this team to greatness? You want me to be the head coach? Sure. Why not? You'd be fantastic at it. You played center really well. You coached the hell out of the high school team that you were on. Good enough for me. Why me, Jeff? Because, dude, you played center with Peyton Manning. You're a Colt. You can come coach this team.
Well, we called Peyton, and he said no.
Yeah, Peyton said no, and you're our next guy.
Pat McAfee said no.
You want to know what's crazy? I want this to work out so badly because I want this to be the norm. Like, not the norm, but
it's not unheard of.
We keep recycling all these guys, coaching trees, you know. There's 8 guys from this coach, and now they're all spreading out, and they're coaching, and then they fail, and then we bring up this group, and then they fail. You might as well get a little sexy once in a while. I'm not saying Jeff Saturday's sexy, although he lost a ton of weight when he got done in the NFL. I just think it's interesting because I've always said the Peyton Manning thing is ridiculous. He's got to go be a coordinator first before he can be a head coach. But then again, Jeff Saturday happens, and it's like now it seems like that's something that can happen. Or is Jim Irsay just crazy?
No, I think you see it, and you've seen it pop up in the NFL. Guys like Dan Campbell and Mike Vrabel, guys that were in the NFL and then went in directly into coaching and were on a number of staffs. But for this, just not even on a coaching staff. You're just out there coaching high school, and we're going to bring you up to be a guy.
Yeah.
And does that resonate with the locker room? Do the players connect with that? Like, hey, he's our coach, but he was one of us at one point.
Correct.
He's not going to be in here and, you know.
Might be interesting.
It's not like I'm to take charge, this is my team or no team. Like, no, it's probably, hey, this is an opportunity. Let's go out and have some fun.
Texter here from Noob. Angel, I need your help. What does this mean, Noob? Question, what makes sports talk host any more knowledgeable to talk about the game than an ex-player that was pretty successful to be an NFL head coach? What?
You're saying that us in radio should have experience in radio before we get to host?
Into radio? Is that what you're saying? Question, what makes sports talk host any more knowledgeable to talk about the game than an ex-player? I'm not any more knowledgeable than an ex-player. Like, if I bring an NFL... Dalen Kuntz knows more about Division I college basketball than I do.
We just have microphones.
I just have microphones, and I have a big mouth and a lot of opinions. But, yeah, you need drivers of rate. I don't know what the question is.
You need to have some knowledge of sports if you're going to talk about it.
Listen, dude. I put my sports knowledge up against anybody, but I didn't play. So I can't tell you about X's and O's
and pulling right guards and all that stuff, but I can put on an entertaining show. Two-time Colorado Broadcasters Award Association winner, by the way. Second in the other 2 years in between. So you're welcome. Thank you very much. I'm not sure what that question is. Like, I don't know what that question is, noob. Eastside Chris Brady sounds like a made-for-movie event. Tanner comes out of the booth to coach. Broncos make the playoffs, but lose on a walk-off field goal.
What is this about Tanner and coaching?
Well, Tanner is a legend here in his own mind, and I think that started to seep into some of the Hooligans' minds as well.
Now he's just ready to take on the Broncos?
I guess. I mean, okay, is this what Noob's getting at? Is what makes a talk show host anymore? Maybe he's meaning that you don't have to be an assistant or any kind of...
Is he saying, like, if you, Brady, a local radio host, could suddenly got on ESPN Sunday night and were doing the call?
Yeah. Or is he saying that anybody can be a coach? You don't have to have played? Is that what he's saying?
But he did play.
I might get it. I might get this. That maybe that just because Jeff wasn't an assistant or a college coach of any kind doesn't mean he needs that to go be a successful coach? Maybe. Noob, I'm trying to get there with you.
Well, what are the responsibilities of an NFL head coach on like a game day situation?
I would say it's obviously developing your depth chart, figuring out your injuries, talking to your coordinators to design the plays, whether or not, and not game day, that's obviously throughout the course of the week, but motivational speeches, those are big. Game day operations, obviously, Nathaniel Hackett knows a few things about those now, thanks to Mr. Rosberg. Like, yeah, I mean, the day of, sure, it's a lot of that stuff, like managing the day, managing the events, managing the depth chart.
How much of this is, we just need a guy on the sidelines to make the guys feel good, to have a voice for the players, and they can rally around Jeff Saturday.
Is Jeff Saturday really well, is he well respected? Probably.
Within that organization, yes.
Is he well respected, like, amongst NFL players today, you think? I mean, he played, so that's
also,
always a big deal.
He was in the media for a while, and that kind of helps.
Alfred Williams, who does radio work in Denver, former Super Bowl champ with the Broncos, he's always been adamant, like, give former players a chance to coach. Like, he's talked about that. He wants to see more players. Here's one for you you'll appreciate, Angel. B-Rad, Mike McDaniel for the Dolphins, my fellow Smoky Hill Buffalo, never played. Well, that's the thing.
He played at Yale in college, but that doesn't count.
Well, there's a lot of, like, Shanahan, did he play in the NFL? Maybe he did. I don't care. I've always said, like, you can play, and if you can use your playing ability to coach, great. If you didn't play, but you know the game backwards and front, great. You don't have to be, I mean, Siskel and Ebert weren't directors and actors in movies back in the day. They just were really good at reviewing them and became famous from it. I always joke with people, like, you didn't play the game, so you can't be critical of what we're doing. Well, you can't be critical of the series Stranger Things either then, because you weren't in it. No, that critics make the world go round. Sports talk makes sports go round.
It's what makes coaches better coaches.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it's, we'll see on Sunday how he looks coaching against the Raiders, I think. Or I had to look, but we'll see how he looks then, and then I'm sure he'll have critiques on himself. I'm sure Irsay might come out and say something else, so let's see. It's, as he said, it's a learning opportunity for him, and he's just excited to have the opportunity.
Can you believe the Broncos lost to the Colts?
I can believe that, because I watched it with my own eyes.
I mean, I'm just thinking about it. They're so bad. How bad are they? They fired their head coach, and they hired a guy from the broadcast booth.
And they're on a backup quarterback.
They're on a, yeah. What is that? Oh, my goodness. Now, here's the deal. Basketball, way different sport, but Steve Kerr did it. Now, Steve Kerr was a champion, played a long time in the NBA, played with Michael Jordan, didn't coach. He went from playing to the broadcast booth, who I loved on the broadcast, in the broadcast booth. He was with TNT, right? He was sensational. He was always on the video games. I loved hearing him talk. When they decided to make the hire, and I was doing a show at the time, my first thought was, this is going to work. Because I've heard this man talk basketball for years upon years. I think it's going to work. Is that the same thing in football? Can you just be an analyst and know a ton about football and still and then take that and transition and coach? I actually hope so. Okay. Noob's elaborating. Thank you, Noob. People are trying to make this a black and white thing. Oh, also, I will explain this to you on Friday. LOL. Yeah, Noob's in on bowling, by the way.
He'll explain it in person.
I think I get... Noob, give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. I think I get what you're saying. Like, you're saying that from the text, like, what makes a sports talk show host any more knowledgeable talk about the game than an ex-player? Maybe he's saying that you don't need to be experienced in coaching or assistant coaching in the NFL. You can just have your own abilities, your playing ability, your know-how, knowing the game. Clearly, he knows the game. No one's debating whether he knows the game. He knew how to play the game. He knows how to talk about the game. Can you manage the game, though? Can you manage players?
There's no checklist for an NFL coach. If you have an above-average knowledge of the game, like Saturday does, you have experience playing this game, you know this franchise, you know the city, you know the fans and all that, that's just bonus stuff. You'll learn the coaching aspect. You'll learn the game scenarios and how to work with your coaching staff and what kind of play calls you want to do. You'll learn that as you go, but there's no you need to have X, Y, and Z to make sure you can qualify to be a coach.
Noob says, heck, now you're confusing me and I wrote it. I don't know, Noob. I don't get it. Angel, you're supposed to be the guy that...
I tried to figure it out, but now I'm confused.
You are the guy that is supposed to analyze these texts if I don't understand
them. Am I qualified to do that?
You are qualified to do these. I tried to make sense of it. Tanner says, me being the interim head coach doesn't sound as crazy now. I've seen you play Madden, dude, and you would not, you would throw, your team would just throw it up every time, and there would be interceptions after interception.
Onside kicks, though. Might have something there.
He's pretty damn good at those. I'll give you that, man. Special teams. John texting in. Mike Shanahan was a quarterback at Eastern Illinois. Kyle Shanahan was on the football team at Texas. Thank you, Google or
John. He was
just
on the team. He didn't play anything. That's just Kyle.
Kyle was on the team. Did you see how tall Kyle is compared to Christian? Did you see that tweet? Christian McCaffrey, what is he wearing?
That was some weird corduroy combo fit something.
Who did they say he looked like? He was dressing up like somebody. Looked like somebody. Kyle Shanahan is like way taller than Christian. Christian did not look like an NFL player in that picture. See what they compared it to. What did he? There's something funny. I chuckled. I didn't laugh out loud. I chuckled.
Christian is 5'11".
Well, I'm 5'10 and a half, by the way, on a good day.
Ooh, 10 and a half.
So, but do I look like an NFL football player? That's what I'm saying. Although Christian is pretty freaking...
I mean, if you put pads and a helmet on, you might fill out a little bit.
I'd have to cover up the calves. They're like this tall. They're this small, though, Angel. People would take one look at those calves and go, that guy should not be in. He's going to get hurt. Those legs are going to break.
Special teams.
Yeah, I could be special
teams. Be a gunner.
Yeah, I could do something fun. Eastside Chris, Brady, you're making a case for Tanner. No NFL experience, yet he knows the process. I listened to his show.
What is the process?
Hey, what is that process that Tanner's talking about? Fire everybody
every day. Sit down, everyone else go play.
Russ, sit down, fire Hackett day one. George Payton's gone, fire that guy. Bring in Sean Payton. We don't have the draft picks. I don't care. He's coming in. There you go. Does that sum it up?
That sounds like a Super Bowl team right there.
24 minutes after there. If this works, if Jeff Saturday is like, oh, the players love this guy, they're winning for him, then you might start to see this more often. But I'm telling you, coaching is different. You can be great at football. You can know football better than anybody. But coaching and leading is different. John says, no Google on that one, you whippersnappers. I will be 44 next spring. Get off my lawn. I mean, I'm 36. It's not like, you know, you're that much older than me. I've got some wisdom that I've gained over the years. 25 minutes after there, we have to take a break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I got another pair of these tickets for Friday night's men's basketball game. The UNC Bears taking on Texas A&M Commerce. Friday night, 6 o'clock at Bank of Colorado Arena. Let's go caller number 3 right now on the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Caller 3, you'll get a pair of tickets to go see the UNC Bears in action against Texas A&M Commerce. Bummer yesterday hearing that Avalanche forward Valerie Nichushkin will undergo ankle surgery. He is expected to miss approximately a month, according to Coach Bednar. Bowen Byram, Sam Girard, and is also out as the Avs get set to return home from their Finland journey. I mean, that's rough. Now you start looking at it, man. Gabriel Landeskog's out too. There are some pretty significant injuries. I mean, Nichushkin might be one of the most important players. I don't think he's the most, because you got Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, but that's one of your core pieces, one of your important players. So now you start looking at it with the Avs going, all right, when do these injuries start to really affect what you're doing? How deep can you possibly be? We always say that about the Avs, that they're just a deep hockey team, that injuries aren't going to absolutely destroy them. Right now, they're destroying them. How long can they keep just getting over those humps, those injury humps?
Right, and it's such a long season. You don't want to fall behind too early. We talk about it with basketball. But with the Avs, you know, they're, what, 6-4-1 on the year so far. They've got to go into a 3-game homestand and then a 3-game road trip. But with that kind of, with those kind of injuries to those guys, it hurts. And you got to see who can step up on those second, third, fourth units to rotate in. Thank God you still have MacKinnon, Makar, and all those other guys. But it's going to be, this is the first big challenge for this Avs team looking to defend the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and again, we always say next man up, next man up. It's like, that's all well and good, and sometimes it works, but you have starters for a reason. You have first units for a reason, and it starts to seep in, and you start to see how these injuries can really affect you. So we'll see. I guess it's early in the season, so you'd rather it now than toward the tail end of the season when if you're out for a month, that means playoffs. So I don't know if there's ever good timing. Probably, you know, the best timing is that they get hurt the final game of the season or final, you know, Stanley Cup game, and you're already winning, and then you have time to recover. But yeah, this, I suppose, could be worse. You'd be missing him late in the season when you need to be coming into form, rounding into form. So I suppose get it out of the way early, but yeah, it's every team, man. It's every league finding ways to get past injuries. You saw the Lloyd Cushenberry thing. I mean, he's out for how long now? Like, he's out for a while. He's done.
4 to 6 weeks, I think I saw.
And by then, if the Broncos aren't in this thing, do you want him in there? Do you want to try that? What, Graham Glasgow is going to try his hand at center, which he looked all right when he was in there. But it's overcoming injuries, and that's a big deal. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, that Jim Irsay thing is just interesting. I mean, he sounds like, I'll be real honest, he just sounds like he's kind of out there.
Yeah, that whole organization, as we've talked about before, has been just in a weird spot since Andrew Luck retired, and they've never really gotten back to any semblance of, we're not rebuilding or we're not tanking. We're just going to go sign some random quarterback and hope it works itself out. Now it seems halfway through the season, there's not much going on right now. So let's just finish the year with Jeff Saturday as the coach and see what happens.
What are the chances that he makes something of this and he ends up becoming the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts?
Ugh, it would take a lot. Like, look at their schedule.
They're 3-5-1. They're at Las Vegas, who they might be looking to hire Tim Brown or something to come back and be their head coach. I don't know. because Josh McDaniels does not seem to be working out so far. Then they have the Eagles.
Have fun with that.
Watch. Wouldn't that be just ridiculous? The Colts with Jeff Saturday pull off the upset of the world and they screw up Philadelphia's perfect season.
Could be a trap game for the Eagles.
Could be. Steelers at home, at Dallas, at Minnesota. Yeah, they're tanking. I just, it's an interesting idea. It's fun to talk about, but this is, even Jeff Saturday. When have you ever heard a coach say, you know, I asked the GM, like, why me? Did he apply? Did Jeff apply?
Cause doesn't sound like it.
They said that. They tried to hire him as an O-line coach once before and to be in the organization, but the timing never worked out. What does that mean? You called him at midnight or you called him 2 weeks left in the offseason? Timing never worked out if you wanted him as your offensive line coach.
Maybe it was a quarterback issue and they just weren't settled on anybody.
Maybe.
Maybe Sam Ehlinger is the truth and Jim or Saturday will bring the best out of him.
Who knows, man? It's just, it's weird. We're seeing weird stuff more and more, and I'm it'll be entertaining. We'll see what happens. 36 minutes after the hour. Before we break, do want to thank one of our excellent sponsors, and that's On the Rocks Liquor. Hey, I know Tony, the owner over there, is going to be joining us for bowling on Friday. We're raising turkeys for World Food Bank, so cannot wait for that. But they'll be On the Rocks Liquor. They always do local stuff like this and giving back, buying turkeys, bringing it to this great event. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Game Beer of the Week's from Odell Brewing in Fort Collins. It's a chocolate milk stout. You can pick up selections from On the Rocks Liquor, anything you want. They have they always support the local breweries. They're getting in-state stuff coming in. Just a little bit of everything at On the Rocks Liquor. Stop by on Friday for the free tastings from 4 to 7. The great folks from Eagle Rock Distribution will be on hand with tequila and wines to taste. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Look what the CU Buffs just did. Pat Rooney putting out a story in Buff Zone moments, or well, this morning, I guess. Head coach Tad Boyle and his staff just got a major recruit on National Signing Day today. They got 5-star wing Cody Williams to lead the Buffs 2023 recruiting class. 6'8" wing. He's ranked as the number 21st prospect in the nation by 24/7 Sports. This is why Tad Boyle's the man. Every year, he has this team in the conversation of March Madness. Every year, he gets other recruits to come in and replace the McKinley Wrights of the world. The guy is ridiculous at this. He does it the right way, and look at that. A 5-star. Huge. They also landed Courtney Anderson Jr. He's a combo guard out of Southern California who committed to the Buffs back in September. And they're in the running for 6'10" big man Asani Diyo out of Denver. He's not expected to announce his choice until next week. But this guy, Tad, just gets it, man. And he's so humble about everything. He doesn't even really talk about what's he needs. 7 more wins to become the winningest CU coach in program history. And that probably ensures a lot more wins coming up, getting a stud like that. It's going to be a fun basketball season this year. What else you got, Angel? What else you got?
Just seeing this from Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Russell Wilson on not wearing a wristband in Seattle, quote, won a lot of games without one on the wrist.
Little barb there toward old Pete.
That's what Bleacher Report says. So is he wearing the wristband or not?
Well, now he can't wear the wristband, Angel. Well,
then you're not winning.
He said won a lot of games with it or without it?
Without it.
So, yeah, he's not. He's throwing something back at Carroll like, I didn't need your stupid plays. I mean, they were broken anyway. I ran around every time. I mean, that's what my response would be. I know Russ isn't going to go that way. But how much? Okay, let me just say something. I was thinking about this Pete Carroll wristband thing last night. I was lying in bed just thinking about Pete Carroll, as I tend to do. And Pete Carroll, we all brag about how good Russ is when the play is broken down, right? That's who Russ was. So that means your plays were kind of crappy and the wristband didn't mean anything. Russ had to just run for his life and try to make something happen.
Is that on the coach or the offensive line the last couple of years?
I don't know. Got to coach him up. Got to coach him up, Pete.
They look great now.
Yeah, what is this? Are you rooting against Seattle? Or you're kind of becoming a Broncos person because you have to. But there is a part of me that's rooting against them. There's a part of me that's really interested in the sideshow because it's like Geno Smith. Like, what? But I'm, kind of rooting against them.
I can see that. There's some history there between the Broncos and the Seahawks. Obviously, well, you know, the Super Bowl that was and the bad snap over Peyton's head, and that started it all. But
did Manning wore a wristband that game? I bet you the wristband didn't say for a bad snap to happen.
No, but I'm not a fan of the Seahawks. My roommate is a Seahawks fan, so I kind of follow them a little bit. I really like the Geno Smith story. You know, like the whole, everyone wrote me off,
bloomer,
I'm not writing back. I love that stuff.
Late bloomer in the NFL, you know, not a lot of, these aren't very common. A lot of guys that were in the league for 7+ years or whatever, however long, six years.
We all picked Seattle to be a bottom five team.
Yeah, we did.
So it's kind of fun seeing them prove us wrong.
So now they play Tampa Bay, right?
Yep, they'll be in Munich on Sunday
That's
morning.
Right. That's right. I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and they're out there, the crew is, so getting geared up for that game, of course. Bright and early, Bucks are 3-point favorites. Buccaneers have to look at this is our chance to get right back in this thing. 4-5. Seattle 6-3. This bodes well for the Bucks. Getting out of the country, all the drama, all the stuff surrounding Tom Brady, he gets away. And you're going against the Seahawks in Munich for an opportunity to get back to 500 and put yourself right in the thick of things when it comes to the playoff standings. So, big opportunity there. But yeah, how long can the Seattle thing go on? Like, right now, Seattle fans got to be feeling like they're playing with house money. Bobby Wagner's gone. We talk about Russ, but Bobby Wagner's gone too. Their guy that held the defense together for so many years. They've lost Legion of Boom players year after year and stud players, yet they've found a way to piece this thing together, and they're playing really good football.
They're playing really good complementary football. Obviously, Geno's not putting up crazy numbers, but he's putting up numbers he's efficient, and they're leading to wins. And they're kind of similar to the Giants. It doesn't feel like, oh, there's one guy on this team that's completely dominant. He's the best player on this team every single weekend. But it feels more like a team that's playing together, and it feels like Carroll has really, you know, run with that. Like, hey, we're the underdogs. Everyone counted us out. Geno, you're the biggest underdog in the league right now. Let's go do something special. Let's go have a winning, successful season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're trying to do something really unique here, and that's where, like, it looked like you were in fire sale mode and you were rebuilding for the future, and here you sit. Our guy Zach Stevens, we're gonna try to get him on the show tomorrow from DNVR Broncos. Draymond Jones was asked in the locker room if he wants to stay in Denver long term. He said, I'm here right now. Jones added he's not worried about cap space or anything like that right now. Well, why would he be? He doesn't care about cap space.
They don't even look at the cap space.
Yeah, and I mean,
cap space doesn't exist.
Those questions are so tough too. Like, so you know, if you're looking for a story there, you're gonna go, oh, well, he said I'm here right now. So he didn't say I want to be a Bronco long term or anything like that. It's hard to ask at this point in the season. You know, you're asking these questions about contracts right now. This is a team trying to get back into the conversation. This is a team trying to reestablish an identity and win some freaking football games. I thought it was interesting, too. He added that he's not worried about cap space. Do players typically worry about cap space? I lay awake at night, and I wonder if they're going to be able to afford. Yeah, I mean, sure, but I don't think they're really thinking about the cap space at this stage.
That's more of the agent's responsibility.
Yeah.
In terms of contracts and stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, it's weird. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's see, a texter here from Eastside Chris. Brady, if only Johnny U had a wristband, he might have been better. Listen, I'm not saying the wristband's the end-all be-all, but according to Pete Carroll, the success that Geno Smith is finding is due to wearing a wristband, somewhat, carrying out the plays with the cheat sheet on your wrist. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll take a short break. I'll wrap up hour number two. We'll get to future headlines in the second hour. Nuggets back at it tonight against the Pacers. So much more coming up on the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be rolling with us here today. Holyoke says, who follows the wristband? Kirko Iced Out Chains. No high knees on planes, winner of noontime games. Is that, what am I missing there? Angel, interpret, please help me out here. Is that a rapper? Is that a wrestler? Could be anything at this point. Dixon texting in. Lying awake and thinking about cap space is probably better than lying in bed thinking about Pete Carroll like Brady does. Just a guy that thinks about
both?
Pete Carroll. It's a dude thinks about Pete Carroll and coaches and stuff like that.
Do you think about the Seattle Seahawks cap space?
I think about it sometimes. Okay. I don't let it destroy my day, but yeah, it crosses my mind.
In terms of Holyoke's text, uh-huh. I have no idea what that is. Are you saying Kirko? You know who follows the wristband?
Kirked. Cousins.
Okay,
yes.
I got you now.
We deduced it, Angel.
Would you rather have high knees or an iced out Kirk Cousins on your flight?
Everybody loves iced out Kirk Cousins now.
We like that.
We like that. But think about this. The you like that thing? How much of a running joke was that? He got the win. It was awesome for a minute, but then it became a joke. Until he starts winning again, now it's a big deal. That's what Russ has to look forward to if he can get this thing done. High knees and all that will become a fun thing of the past that we just like to talk about. On occasion, we bring it up to mess with him. But Russ could be the you like that Kirk diced out chains. Yes.
No.
Yes. He wins games. And if you guys are
But we haven't heard you like that in so many years.
Brie
he hasn't
Rad
really
says,
done
think,
it since that Washington when he was there.
But he did it Sunday.
Oh, because they're like 7-1 right now.
But you can't say Kirk Cousins without thinking of you like that.
Well, of course. That's how he was when we first got introduced to
but
him.
But we made fun of it.
But now
after.
He's grown and evolved and
because
he's become this
he's
better
winning.
Quarterback.
If Russ can put all this stuff away and win games, then all of it's fine. Nobody's caring about high knees and Subway sandwiches and tweets. All they care about is the dub.
Today.
Do you have a spicy sandwich or whatever that thing is?
I did have some little spicy salami.
You had a danger rut? Did you ask for it?
No.
Oh.
I don't want to get embarrassed.
Nobody would know. Well, we'll be right back. Final hour coming up next.